Hey, Heavenly Homemakers, thank you for living out God's calling to make your homes heavenly while striving toward your heavenly home. The Lord is working through you to bless so many people. As Laura addresses your questions in these next few minutes, we hope you are blessed with real-life help and that your spirit is uplifted.
Hello, and welcome to podcast number 2. This is Laura Coppinger at HeavenlyHomemakers.com. We've got quite a few good questions coming in to be addressed in upcoming podcasts. I've got 2 good ones today. Hopefully you won't hear all the background noise. I tried to go into a quiet room, but I've got a couple boys in my living room playing soccer or football or maybe a mixture of both. So hopefully that sound will be drowned out. We'll go ahead and get started here with a couple of questions today. This email comes from Kristen. She writes, "Just want to say thanks so much for your website. I have to say I'm a bit addicted. I find myself going to your website and reading new posts before they even have a chance to make it to my inbox. I do have a question. My son just turned 5. We are currently working our way through Learn Your Letters, Learn to Serve curriculum, which I love, by the way, and my father's world kindergarten. I already find myself thinking about what curriculum to use next year for first grade. I realize this is way early, but I can't help myself. I'm so torn between staying with my father's world or switching to Sunlight. Of course, there are mixed reviews for both, as with anything. I'm somewhat concerned with Sunlight presenting the idea of evolution to my young child, as well as using books with some curse words. I know that you love Sunlight, and from reading about you and your family, I can't see that you would use any books that might be inappropriate for your boys. I'm also very concerned about the cost. Their curriculum is expensive. Any help you can provide would be much appreciated." All right, well, first let me say thank you for being addicted to my website. I appreciate that. I hope it's a healthy addiction. And also, thank you for purchasing our preschool curriculum, Learn Your Letters, Learn to Serve. I'm glad you're enjoying that. That's been a joy to hear testimonies of people who are using it and it's working for them. So thank you so much. We do love Sunlight at our house. I've heard great things about my father's world also, and it, in a lot of ways, it seems very similar to Sunlight, and I've never looked at it, but it does sound similar in their approach and the learning style, in which is mostly reading literature together to learn as opposed to textbooks. We really like just reading lots and lots of great books together instead of having a textbook format. It works much better for our family. Sunlight does introduce evolution. It uses a lot of Osborne books to teach science and history in the earlier years, and Osborne is not a Christian company, therefore does talk about different evolutionary things. It, you know, says things like, you know, however many billions of years ago when this evolved or dinosaurs were on the earth, things like that. We actually haven't found that to be a problem at our house. It has really instead become very good teachable moment for us. Our kids are aware that these ideas are out there. We then can use that to prepare them for, you know, knowing how to handle when they are reading something in a book and it says something that they may question. You know, is that true? Did that really happen? You know, most of the books Sunlight recommends does not include these types of things, but some of them do, and we have just used that as time to teach our kids, you know, to differentiate what is real and what isn't, so that they know that there's all kinds of stuff out there that sounds good. It's written in a very factual way, but you still have to question it. You still have to do your research. You still have to talk to us, to talk to mom and dad about it, look it up and see. So for that reason, I've actually appreciated that about Sunlight as opposed to being turned off by it. I have felt like it's been a good awareness thing for our kids. As far as the curse words, we haven't really run into too many. Usually, if there are any curse words, and you know, these are in classic books. The Sunlight isn't just picking these books just to, you know, make our kids aware that there's bad words out there. The books that have a curse word, which we've run into, again, very few, these are classic books that the stories are excellent. I think one we ran into was maybe Little Britches, and it had some bad words in it. I was actually reading that one aloud to our kids, and I just edited that as I read. That worked fine. Our kids don't really know many bad words. We do have a teenager. He's starting to become more aware of things as he hears his friends talking. In general, if they read a bad word in a book, I don't even know if they would know what it would be, unless it's STUPID, which, you know, at our household, that is a bad word. And those are the type that our kids' ears become pricked to. So we just edit those books as we read to them. Or, again, if we feel like we need to, we go ahead and read it and then talk about why that's a bad word, letting them know, hey, that's a bad word. We don't talk like that, just so you know. And that has, again, it's just been good awareness. It really is good just to talk to your kids about these things. And some of the things that you're going to face in books is a great opportunity to do it, because you're right there with your kids and you stop what you're doing and you just talk about it right then and there. It takes about 3 minutes and your kids' eyes will lighten up like, wow, mommy's talking about bad words here. And they'll really listen and hear what you have to say. As far as the cost for sunlight, yes, it is very expensive, I feel, although not necessarily any more expensive than any other curriculum. Curriculum is expensive. Teaching your children at home costs money. Books cost money. And I have kind of come around to that, kind of similarly to how I have come around to feeding my family healthy foods. Good food costs money, and so do good books. Now, having said that, I do everything I can to get away with not paying full price if possible. I buy many of my books with my swag bucks that I have earned. You can read more about the swag buck search engine on my website. And that has helped a lot, because anytime I earn swag bucks, then I turn those in for Amazon gift cards, and then I use those Amazon gift cards to buy books that Sunlight recommends. So while I do like to support Sunlight, and I do buy some of my books from them, I do try to see what I can get elsewhere first, just to see if I can get a better price on it used. I don't mind used books. They read just the same. So I do get books from Amazon. I get them sometimes from Rainbow Resource. That is a great source for getting books a lot less expensive. You can get a lot of these books at the library as well. I just have always really done a lot of homework. It's easier just to go ahead and fork out the money and buy the whole package from Sunlight or My Father's World or whatever you're choosing. But for just, you know, a couple of my days' time, I spend a couple of days before the school year starts and just make out my lists and check to see where I can get the books for a good price. I save probably, wow, 2/3 of the cost. So for me, it is worth spending that extra time to see how I can cut down on the cost of it. But yes, I do recommend Sunlight. Again, you know, I think My Father's World is probably just as wonderful. I just don't have the experience with that. I think that it's good to just continue to check around with other people who are using different curriculums just to kind of get a feel for what's going to work best for your family. Even through the years, you may find that you switch from one thing to the next, just because what works for one child may not work for the next, and what works for one year for your family may not work for the next. It's good to be aware of what's out there and to see what's going to work best for your family. This email comes from Andrea. It reads, as a fellow soccer mom who is choosing to feed your kids a healthy diet, I wanted to ask you a question. My 6-year-old son just started soccer, and after our first game, the coach's wife said, oh, we are making a sign-up sheet for bringing snacks. I really didn't like this, so after the game, I just left with my son while they were handing out the sugar, calorie, high fructose corn syrup, food coloring laden snack. Yuck. Isn't the point of playing soccer or any sport to help make a healthy body? I'm quite upset that everywhere I go, people are trying to fill my kids with this garbage and have no clue why I'm upset about it. I'm thinking that if I sign up to bring snacks, I'll just bring water and grapes, but I really don't want the other parents feeding my kids, and I don't really feel like feeding theirs. I'm wondering if you've had to deal with a similar situation, and if so, how did you deal with it? Well, yes, definitely. I understand exactly how you feel, Andrea, because we have been and are still in the same boat. I don't know if it's a universal thing or what, but definitely after all of our boys' soccer games, they line up and get snacks, and as a parent, I am responsible for taking snacks for at least one of those games. So I understand what you're going through and your frustration with that. We've been in the soccer realm for about 8 years, ever since our oldest son, Asa, was 5, and at that time, I actually didn't mind because we weren't on a healthy eating journey at that point. We were fine with high fructose corn syrup because we really didn't know what it was. And in fact, I remember thinking, oh, that's really fun that the kids get a snack after the game. So that was my perspective on it at that point, and probably the perspective of most of the parents you are dealing with and that I am dealing with, just the fact that they don't know that these things are not actually good. And I think that most people feel like if we are giving our kids juice, it's a good thing. And that's just kind of part of what we're going to be facing in this world. And so I have come to some conclusions after wrestling with this for quite a bit of time, because when we did start our healthy eating journey, when Malachi was a baby, then I really did start questioning everything, and our soccer snack was certainly one of those things. I remember discussing this with Matt, who, when he grew up playing soccer, said that at halftime they always had orange slices, and so that was always very refreshing for him, and he really had good memories of that. So we thought, well, hey, we'll just take orange slices and baggies for the kids. Well, that was fine, I suppose, but the kids didn't really like that as well. They did okay, they didn't complain, but they were used to being handed the fruit snacks or the fruit roll-ups or the granola bars or whatever. And so it was our way of trying, I guess, and we were maybe hoping that some of the other parents would get on board and think, oh, that's a great idea, I'll bring fruit next time too. But it didn't so much happen. And then we thought, well, okay, then when it's time to bring a snack, we'll take popcorn. So I popped popcorn in, you know, coconut oil or real butter with sea salt, you know, the healthy kind of popcorn, and put it in little individual bags. We even decorated the bags with soccer balls, and that actually went over pretty well, and I felt at least that I wasn't spending money on nasty food that I didn't want to spend money on, and I was able to give that, and the kids enjoyed that for the most part. But really what I have just come to the conclusion on is, if you can't beat them, join them, because everyone else is doing one thing, and I have just found that it's easier just to go with the flow and not cause a ruckus with it. It's just easier. I feel like as homeschoolers and healthy eaters and even Christians, sometimes we tend to stand out as it is. And not that I don't feel like it's good to take a stand on things, because it is, but for something like this, I guess I kind of saw it as not that big of a deal. When I sign up for snacks, I go ahead and take 100% juice, and then something that's a little less sugary, like cheese and crackers, and I just sort of don't look at the label because I don't want to know. So that's kind of where I've landed on it, and I don't feel great about it, but at the same time, I just feel like that's what is going to work best for us at this point. As far as my kids eating those snacks after their games, I go ahead and let them. There are times when, if I can, we'll take it home, put it in the fridge for another time, and then, ooh, somehow that just gets thrown away and another time never happens, if I can get away with that. You know, I definitely just feel like after being on this journey for about 5 years that we cannot protect our kids from every piece of junk. What we can do is give them the best food as possible at home, so that when we are in situations like soccer games or at church, when there are treats being handed out or classes or anything like that, then at least I know that their bodies are strong and that they can handle it. And then that just becomes a treat, as opposed to being the norm that they eat all of those foods normally. It just is a treat. And I don't want my kids to ever feel rebellious about those things, to feel like anytime something like that was offered to them, mom really got uptight and nervous, and then in secret they may try to sneak some of those things. So I want to let them know that, hey, sometimes it's fine, sometimes you're going to eat candy, sometimes you're going to get a Twinkie, whatever. I'm going to just say, okay, enjoy it, but, you know, try to educate them along while they're having that. And you know, I have found with our oldest kids, especially our oldest son, Asa, who's now 13, he actually will choose not to eat something sometime, even if it is offered to him, because he knows what's in it, and he realizes, yeah, you know, when I eat that, that makes my stomach hurt. So the older they get, they kind of come to those conclusions themselves. I don't know if that was helpful or not, but that's where I've landed on it, and I feel pretty good about it. Of course, I wish that we didn't even have to face any of those things, but unfortunately we do, no matter where we go, even if we go to grandparents' houses, and that's just part of it. So that's kind of where we've landed on it. We try to do the best that we can when we're at home, and then just kind of go with the flow and try to not overdo it when we're out and when we're faced with kids handing, or people handing our kids things we don't really agree with eating. Thank you for joining us today here at heavenlyhomemakers.com. Please do feel free to send in any other questions you might have, and I will consider them for a future feature here on our podcast. My email is laura@heavenlyhomemakers.com. I'd also like to encourage you to be sure and check out our homeschool curriculum forum. You'll find the button to get to that forum at the top of our sidebar at heavenlyhomemakers.com. It's a wonderful way to build up your curriculum or maybe share some of the curriculum you are finished using now. The recipient pays the shipping, and that is the only cost. And so it's a wonderful way to build up your curriculum stash at your house, or to get rid of your curriculum stash if it's something you are finished with. So be sure and check that out on our site. And now I would just like to encourage you all to go and love on your husbands, thoroughly enjoy your children, and take joy in your life as a heavenly homemaker.